This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the part about Shedeur Sanders, and I want to talk to Bink about it, but just I don't want to do it yet. C-Dot, Shedeur was definitely a first-round pick. When the Mannings or Elways dictated what teams they were going to play for, it was cricket. What makes it different now? Shedeur Sanders is not Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, or John Elway as a prospect. He's not. I don't know why we live in this world, and we know that some people get treated differently because of their abilities. I don't know why we try to, because he's better than you are. He's more special than you are. There's some players that if that tape had come out when Tyreek Hill got the tape, the Chiefs would have cut him instantly. We're not cutting Tyreek Hill instantly. There's some players on the Chiefs that can't get a DUI. If Patrick Mahomes got a DUI, I'm guessing they're not releasing him if that happens. I'm going to guess that's the case. So if you're asking, well, what makes Shedeur different than Peyton Manning? He ain't Peyton Manning. Yes, Peyton Manning could tank some interviews. He was still going to go top five in the draft. Shedeur, when you're a mid-level prospect, you should be on your best behavior. You weren't.
He just went out and got Drew Rosenhaus's agent today, did he? I think he just went out and hired him as his agent. Boy, that'll be a fun combination.
All right, Bing, let's start with this. Now, I have not heard this. Rob told me this. Rob told me you do not like the Chiefs draft class. Is that true?
No,
accurate?
It's not true.
Okay, I'm just telling you what I heard. I didn't hear it.
I don't like the first pick. I like day two and day three.
Okay.
A lot of these players I liked. Of day one, not so much. Day two and three, I did.
All right, let's start with day two then, because we talked to you a little bit about Simmons, and we can obviously double back on Simmons. What do you like about their day two selections? They went out and they really loaded up on defense. They got two defensive linemen, and they also picked up a corner.
Yeah, I mean, would I like to see them go offensive heavy? Yes, but these actual players they got on defense are actually very good. Omar Norman Lott's very interesting. Just played a rotation when he was at Tennessee, but a great pass rusher, like 18.9% win rate. I mean, the guy can get there even on his limited snaps, 129 snaps in pass protection. Ashton Gelati is very interesting. This guy is a lot like George Karloftis in how he goes, and it's just not me saying it or somebody writing about it. His actual head coach that joined us this weekend, Jeff Brom, who played in the NFL, who coached both Karloftis at Purdue, then he went to Louisville, and he made that comparison with that. As a matter of fact, they've been in contact with each other even before he was drafted as far as Karloftis and Gelati. He led the nation in pressures. So you see a theme here. So you have the highest win rate with Norman Lott. You see Gelati, the most pressures in college football. So you see like a theme of what the Chiefs were doing. Listen, they were 18th in sacks last year. They were number two in sacks the two previous years that they won a Super Bowl. Didn't win this year, slipped to 18th. They want to get after the quarterback. It's extremely important. And Noel Williams, the cornerback out of California, absolutely love this pick from the Chiefs. This is a guy that can start with them for day one.
I'll be the pessimist here. We know how the draft works. Norman Lott and Gelati, they both don't work. One of those guys misses. That's kind of how the draft works.
It's how it works.
You take two swings, and you're hoping that one of those guys turns out to be a potential starter for you guys.
I will say this. With Norman Lott, which you hope you have like Mike Dana type of success, just a guy that comes in here that no one's expecting anything. Don't forget when Mike Dana was at Central Michigan, very highly regarded player. He transferred to Michigan. Wasn't even invited to the combine, but the Chiefs still threw a dart at him in the draft and turned out to be good, a good pick for him. Gelati's got the Felix better watch out because this guy I can see getting a lot more playing time than Felix on the defensive line getting to the quarterback. I actually like their day two picks. I can actually see all three of these guys playing significant roles.
I mean, there's no Felix.
Not starting except for Noel Williams.
There's no Felix needs to watch out. If a third round draft pick takes Felix's job as he is heading into year three after you have been given multiple redshirt years, there is no watch out. You're not an NFL player.
Maybe not, but I think certainly that Gelati's a better player at that perspective than Felix at this point, to be honest with you. So, yes, I think this guy will borrow some playing time from Felix.
I think it's kind of clear that the Chiefs just have a type. Like, if you look at Jalen Royals, and I want to get to him more extensively in a bit, like, he fits the kind of receiver that they like. We're going to play the scout audio.
Sure.
Where he says, he reminds me of Rashee Rice. Well, we know that's a kind of build, a kind of style of receiver that they like. When I look at Noel Williams, I mean, this is the kind of receiver that they have just had a lot of success with. And what really excites me about this pick is I look at the depth that they have now in that room and how young they all are. You got Trent McDuffie. You pick up Christian Fulton. You add Williams. You got Joshua Williams. You got Jalen Watson. Like, you got six or seven really strong options at corner where, of all the rooms in their building, this is the one that I think could handle some attrition where an injury happens, and they should be able to maintain a really high level.
Yeah, I mean, they could go ahead and get Jalen Watson in the seventh round. Here's the third round of Noel Williams. Keep this in mind, too, about Noel. He led college football in interceptions last year. He actually picked off Cam Ward in a game when Cal played Miami this year. He had 9 pass breakups, tied for third in FBS. I mean, he's very good around the ball, but he's an extremely good tackler. He comes up and makes hits. Not afraid of that. He had an 80-yard kickoff return, too. So they got several guys in this class that can return kicks. And I know that was important for the Chiefs because they mentioned it several times when the guy can return kicks because teams are loading up now because the ball is going to be spotted at 35. And even the return rate did go up last year with the new kickoff rules, which I do hate, but they will be moving it back to the 35-yard line. But Noel Williams, I really like it. All these guys have that toughness factor about them, but again, they all led the nation in something. Like, that means something to them. And I love Noel Williams' coach, Kevin Wilcox, that joined us, or Justin Wilcox, and he's a former defensive coordinator in college football and head coach at Cal. He said, hey, there's two categories of football players, and this stuff means something. He goes, those are the guys that want to be a football player, like being a football player, I mean, and those that want to play the sport of football. Meaning, there's a bunch of guys that, hey, man, they like everything that comes with being a football player, right? Get you some money, get you attention. And then there's the guys like this that go to work, they're all about business, and they just love the sport of football. And I thought that was pretty interesting when he said that.
That's how I feel about Shadur. Do you want to be a football player, or do you want to be famous?
No, I agree with you to some extent, because that's one good question, and that's why that's become such a prevalent question when it comes to college football players. How much do you actually like playing, or do you just like the sport? Do you like just being famous? Do you like everything that comes about it, or are you that type of guy? Let me play this for you, just 20 seconds. This is the head coach of Cal about Noel Williams. I thought this was very interesting what he said.
There's two categories. You know, there's guys that love being a football player and guys that love playing football. He's a guy that loves playing football, whether it's one-on-ones or seven-on-seven, you know, Tuesday practice. And
see, it's kind of interesting, isn't it? I mean, it's a head coach. Been a defensive coordinator at Wisconsin, at Tennessee, at USC, and of course he's been the head coach at Cal. But that was interesting because that's true. I mean, I think we can look at players and say, is he just like being a football player, or does he actually like playing football?
Do you think that Jalen Royals is going to help them this year? Because I do like this pick, but I'm just thinking about best case scenario if everything works out. Now, I understand building for depth. An injury is going to happen. You want to have somebody that can step in. But I would say they drafted 3 offensive players. I think there is a world in which none of those 3 players are major contributors for the Chiefs this upcoming season. Simmons might be a backup all year, break in case of emergency. Royals might be their 4th or their 5th wide receiver for this year. Smith might be, their 3rd or 4th running back this year. Like, there is a chance that all 3 of their offensive picks are more for 26 or 27 than they are for helping them in this upcoming season. Is there a world in which Royals is a major contributor this year that is not centered around injuries happening?
It would be injuries. It would be what you said, without injuries happening. Because last year would have been needed when Hollywood Brown goes out for the year, basically till the very end, when he gets hurt in preseason snap 1 against, or his play 1 against Jacksonville. And then when Rashee Rice gets hurt against Los Angeles, all of a sudden Xavier Worthy had to step up. And it was kind of a luxury how Worthy was drafted. Yeah, first rounder, but you got Hollywood Brown on the team. It's very similar skill set. And Rashee Rice is here. You remember, he was having trouble, like, catching the ball on the sidelines, like, knowing time and space placement where he was on the field. And things started to change. You know, he became more acclimated. He became the Chiefs' leading receiver through the postseason. Like, when Sky Moore was drafted, I believe there was some pressure on him. Some pressure to come in because it was their one dart that they threw that night to get him. The next year, the only offensive guys they went was that Friday night when they drafted in Kansas City, when they got Rashee Rice and Wandae Morris. And I felt there was a little bit of pressure on Rice to step up and be the guy, and he delivered. Second most catches of any rookie wide receiver in yards and receptions.
I don't think Royals has a lot of pressure this year.
I don't at all. I don't know. That's kind of why I like where he's sitting, because you're sitting right now as the fourth. I mean, you're battling Juju for playing time at this point because you know Worthy's getting his snaps. You're not taking his. You're not taking Rice. You're not, well, if there's a suspension or something that happens, I mean, there could be a lot more playing time for guys like Royals, which this is why you draft these guys. So you have somebody come in, and he can return the ball as well, which is, I think is important. I love this pick for the Chiefs. I'm glad they finally did it because I'm sitting here going, okay, where's receiver? Where's running back? I mean, I love these other players they got on defense. I mean, they got some really quality guys, but you get Patrick Mahomes once. Like, in these guys' lifetime, Veach and these guys, their careers, he's there to have a quarterback like that once. This is it. This is it. They're never going to have another quarterback that goes out and has three Super Bowl rings and been in the AFC title game every year as a starter. That will never happen again, at least to them.
I think the Chiefs' message that they clearly sent this offseason was, we were going to be really good offensively last year, but injuries derailed us. If you look at how they moved this offseason at running back, they added Elijah Mitchell, who has been hurt for a large majority of his career, and you spent the 223rd pick on a running back. So you did not spend significant investment to improve that room. When you think about wide receiver, you brought back your own wide receivers. You spent the 123rd pick on a wide receiver this year. The Chiefs entire offseason kind of had a theme of running back, bringing back Trey Smith, bringing back Nick Bolton, bringing around some of your offensive pieces. I also think their draft kind of mirrored that same thing. We don't think we need immediate day one help at really anything on offense. We are thinking more for the future. And if we get something from these guys, great. But we are not dependent on getting contribution from any of these players.
I mean, I think they're counting on the health of players, to be honest with you, because you look at this team, they weren't explosive offensively. They weren't. They had a ton of one-score games. What's really changed? Like, what's really changed on this offense? It's the same cast of characters, right? Except Jalen Rollins being thrown in there, some Rashard Smith at times. But it's essentially the same team. This is the same team that struggled putting points up on the board and putting teams away. But you remember the St. Joe Chiefs. That was the fun Chiefs. They were airing it out, touchdown, long bombs to Worthy and Brown and Rashee Rice. They were doing all this. And then all of a sudden these injuries happen, and they're caught in a situation where they had to pivot and become a different, you know, a ball-controlled football team from what they wanted to be. But it's essentially a lot of the same cast of characters, including the offensive line. They may have taken a hit when Joe Tooney leaves and goes to Chicago for what you're going to do on the left side of your line, but it's essentially the same group of players. You're expecting a different outcome from the same group of players. That's why I was kind of hoping they'd go more explosive.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that the Chiefs maybe have two philosophies that they communicated to us. We just mentioned the first one. We think we had enough in skill position players last year. Injuries just happened. We want to get an opportunity to see what a healthy offense looks like with Rice, Worthy, Hollywood Brown, and the running backs. Also, I mean, it is clear the Chiefs are taking a gamble. We think that having Jalen Smith and Kingsley Suamata'i, or Jalen Moore, excuse me, we think that Jalen Moore and Kingsley Suamata'i, we think that gives us a better chance than having Joe Tooney play left tackle and having Mike Caliendo play left guard. Because other than that, I mean, the offensive line they had in the Super Bowl from left guard to right tackle is the exact same as it was last year. They have just moved the pieces around on the other side.
And the left side, the most important side, you're dealing with a guy that was a former fifth-round pick from Western Michigan, a Sky Moore teammate, Jalen Moore, that has five NFL starts. And your other option is left tackle you just drafted, who has a patellar knee injury that may or may not even play this year. Looks like he probably will, but what kind of effect are you going to get? And then you're taking a guy that bummed out at left tackle, and you're going to put him at left guard. So, yeah, that's some consistency issues you're worrying about. Then you say, all right, where else can we get better? Can we get more explosive? Well, you drafted receiver, yes, but it was in the fourth round. And right now it's the fourth guy on your depth chart. You didn't grab anybody that's one, two, or three. They're not pushing. He's not pushing any of those guys out.
Right now we got Jay Binkley in studio going through the Chiefs draft. I really thought when they drafted the linebacker at 156, I thought that was the time to go running back. You had addressed a majority of your needs at that point, and I thought they were going to be looking for, hey, this is where you go get Devin Neal. This is where you go get DJ Giddens. This is where you go get a Damian Martinez. I was a little surprised that they took a linebacker there and didn't have another pick until 228 when they went to go pick up a running back. I have been kind of banging the drum this entire offseason that there wasn't enough in that room, that they needed to make more investment in the room. I mean, they told us that they don't feel that way. They feel like they got enough in that room. They feel like there's enough there. Do you agree with how they handled running back this offseason?
Well, especially we played the clips on this weekend. It's like, hey, what did Greg V say? We will have a running back probably on the roster from this draft. Like, we're going to have that. I was like, okay, where are they getting him? And luckily, the Patriots keep doing business with the Chiefs. Like, this has been, they've been a major trade partner. That's why Trent McDuffie is a Chief, because of the Patriots trading. So I think the Chiefs will look at it and say, all right, they're picking two picks at the end of the seventh round, including the last pick in the draft. You know what? Richard's still there. Let's go ahead and get him. We kind of like him. We kind of like him in that Jet McKinnon type ilk. Maybe we'll move up and get him. They got lucky because sixth round, Taj Brooks goes. He's the all-time leading rusher at Texas Tech. That might have been a guy that they would have been looking at in the sixth round. But yeah, I mean, it's deep. You know, in other years, Bouchard's probably drafted a lot higher, to be honest with you. He's probably a fourth or fifth round pick in other drafts, maybe fourth round, but it was just so deep at the running back class. But yeah, they got to the seventh round, and I think they said, okay, what are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? All the great running backs are off the board except for Bouchard Smith. We better find a way to get him.
Right now,
your owner went to SMU.
Right now, we got Binkley in studio. Binkley, I want to get your thoughts on Shedeur Sanders. I've never asked you this. What do you make of him as a prospect? Are you a fan of his? Where are you at on Shedeur?
Well, he helped turn that team around. I mean, he did. It just wasn't Deion doing it. It was him doing it. Needs to be humbled. I mean, the ego and stuff like that's out of control. But that's out of control for a lot of players. But the problem is guys have to like playing for you. Like, players have to like their quarterback, right? Which I think they like him, but focus on the football aspect of the things. And there's a lot of things with his dad, whether he's going to troll where he went and how you shouldn't sandbag interviews, which, you know,
I think he's sandbagged multiple interviews.
He showed up at the combine in these places, but he didn't do anything. He just stood up and, you know, shook everybody's hand like you're a superstar, and you're not, because you didn't do anything. And I'm with you on that. He should have done some things. He's not Austin Jeanty, who didn't run at the combine, didn't run his pro day, didn't have to. He's going to pick six. Big difference. I will say this about Shedeur, though. There's some football-type stuff that you have to like about the kid. He delivered. He was sacked 152 times, did not have a running game at Colorado. His offensive line was in shambles, but he proved toughness, which is a real hard thing for quarterbacks sometimes to do. He didn't leave the game. He didn't tap out like Anthony Richardson. He didn't do any of that. He stayed in the game, took his hits. He was hit a ton of times, and he still delivered. Like, he didn't. Hey, I'm not playing this game. No, he didn't. And he turned Colorado. Colorado became more of a viable football team than they had been in the past. He's a big part of that. It's just you got to change kind of the perception in the – they should have got a PR coach or something to kind of help him out. Hey, you know, guys don't want to hear your rap music after games, Shedeur. You know, they want to hear other music. They don't want to hear Shedeur in his music in the post game. Just things like that, because you need the players that want – you need them to play, want to play with you. You need them to like you. Patrick Mahomes is like the perfect example, man. I can't think of a guy that's a superstar, does the things he does. Goes to dinner with these dudes. He shows up with guys at wrestling events, or he brings them to the box at soccer matches or whatever. He plays video games with players, brings them down to Texas. They're not superstars that are down there at Camp Pat. He brings anybody and everybody down. He treats everybody the same, and that's why players want to play for him. Like, that's the one intangible quarterbacks have to have. And I don't think he has that.
I think a big thing with Shedeur was going to be this. I think it's clear the NFL did not view him as a starting quarterback. If they viewed him as a starting quarterback, they would put up with a lot more than bad interviews. If you don't see him as an immediate starter for you, can he survive in a system that's not about him? You think about high school, both colleges, Jackson State and Colorado, you have been the center of everything there. Your dad's been the coach your entire time. That's not how it's going to be there. And you're also going to be now the most famous backup quarterback in the National Football
League. Drew Rosenhaus. Now, I'm just curious how he's going to deal with life after Deion. Like, how's that going to be any different, not having Deion around? You know, Cleveland, they could have had a situation where they had Travis Hunter still, and but they traded those picks away. Could have had Travis Hunter and Shedeur. But I do think he went to kind of a good place for him when you're battling out with Kenny Pickett and Dylan Gabriel and Joe Flacco. Like, there could actually be some playing time for him, but the players have to buy into who and what you are.
I was going to say, that's the pretty crazy part.
That's the hard part.
That's the crazy part, I think, about all of this is, in the end, I think he got drafted to the right place.
I think so, too. I think Cleveland was the perfect spot for him.
It does not matter where you got drafted. You were in a room now with Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, and Dylan Gabriel. You will be given every opportunity in the world to go win that job.
Yep.
Go be better than those other three quarterbacks, and maybe you don't get that opportunity day one. But we all know how this works. Cleveland's not making the playoffs.
Flacco's going to start. They're going to start off 0-4, 1-5, and then boom, they're going to say, you know, let's look for the future.
100.
Shador, we'll see what you – it's between you and Dylan. Maybe Kenny Pickett on that. But we want to go future. We'll see what you got, Shador. That's what's going to happen.
100%. Shador Sanders will get an opportunity to start in the National
Football League. It's a blessing for him to go there.
I think it's the best possible landing spot for him.
Yep.
You got a quarterback-minded head coach in Kevin Stefanski, and you're going to get an opportunity to start later in the season. Now the real work starts.
And a running game. You know, he's never had that, so at least he's got the running game to go with it.
Right now, we got Jay Binkley joining us in studio. If you had to give out a draft grade for the Chiefs, what would you give?
I said B+ the other night when Drew texted me. Obviously, not wild about the first round. Things can change. I mean, if Simmons ends up panning out and is an all-pro type player, it's an A. I think draft grades are way too early when give them out. I mean, just go back to 2017 when Mahomes drafted. It's like C+, C, stuff like that. It's clearly, you know, much better than that. A lot of these players they got, though, were way under drafted. Like 156 or Bossa goes when Dayton Brugler and stuff happens to them, a top 100 player. They've got some dogs, man. They've got some really good players in their draft classes. Maybe different philosophy. Maybe Rashard Davis or Smith pans out for the Chiefs. We'll see. I mean, the guy was a receiver at Miami. Low mileage on the body, running the football, because they turned him into a running back at SMU. He had been a wide receiver, so he obviously can catch the football, which he did at SMU. We'll see if that pans out. There's some of these guys, if they pan out or not, if they deliver or not. Like looking back at 2022, and you're looking at Pacheco and Jalen Watson and Najee Johnson, the seventh round, you go, man, this is a great draft, which it was. It was given an A at the time. You know, it's an A now when you look back at that draft class. I'm not wild about giving out grades. B+ is what I said.
I look at their draft class, and a lot of it is just centered around how good Joshua Simmons turns out to be. Let me ask you this.
That's the big one.
Let's say that Simmons turns out to be Juwan Taylor. He plays his rookie contract with the team that drafted him, and he eventually goes on to leave for more money. How will you view that pick? Because Juwan Taylor, I mean, he was good enough to get a significant contract from his second team, but obviously Jacksonville saw something that didn't want to make them sign up long-term and give him that contract. But, I mean, Juwan Taylor has been a consistent starter in the league. He's been healthy in the league. Like, Juwan Taylor has been a good draft pick. If that's what Simmons turns out to be, how do you feel about that pick?
I think it's very average at best. I don't think it's above average. It's just average. Average type pick. So, the penalties definitely are a bad mark on him, leading the NFL in penalties the last 2 years. But the hope would probably be Simmons needs to – I mean, the Pro Bowl is easy to get to. You at least got to get to that.
Especially if you play on a prominent team like
if you're an all-pro, even better. You know, Chiefs did buy into it. He went to his pro day, had all of a sudden 34-inch arms. They measured him at the combine. They were 33. Andy Reid's never drafted somebody less than 34. So all of a sudden, those arms grew. This happened to Will Campbell. His arms grew an inch. Jalen Milroe's hands grew half an inch from the combine to the deal. So they need more standard testing, to be honest with you. But that this draft, the grade dictates how Simmons finishes, to be honest with you. It could be great. It could be not so great, depending on how Simmons does.
That is our guy, Jay Binkley, joining us in studio to take a closer look at the Chiefs draft. Bink, man, I appreciate you.
Thank you, Dot.